I'm Tom Lowndes, and today I've got two guests in studio. Book author Catherine Lanigan is here, as well as Carol Moore from the Lake County Public Library Foundation Board. Catherine, best-selling author, over 40 titles, fiction and nonfiction. She's got a brand new book. We'll give you a chance to call in to win it. Write this number down, 219-769-9577. You will need it. We'll give you opportunities to call in to win as we talk to Catherine Lanigan and Carol Moore right after this. Good afternoon, and welcome to A Look at the Arts. I'm your host, Tom Lowndes, and today we've got a great feature here. I was going to say a great book, but we've got a great radio show about
books. A lot of good books, too, though.
A lot of good books. In fact, the lady that is with us today is a frequent guest here on A Look at the Arts and a visitor at Lakeshore Public Radio, over, I believe, 40 titles now or more?
Yeah.
We're
over 45 now.
Wow. Catherine Lanigan. Everyone knows her worldwide for the novelizations of Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile. But more recently, she's written a whole series of books about angel encounters. And right now, she's here to talk as well about her brand spanking new book that you will have a chance to win, called Protecting the Single Mom. It's the latest book that takes place in the sleepy rural setting of Indian Lake. And this time we find out that no matter where you go, there is no safe haven from domestic violence. And kind of an interesting backstory for a harlequin romance novel. I mean, usually they're all, you know, butterflies and rainbows.
Yeah.
And here you're addressing domestic violence. Also with us today, we've got Carol Moore. She is with the Lake County Public Library Foundation Board. Carol, welcome.
Thank you, Tom.
You're glad a first-timer here.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Now, the reason that Carol is joining us is the fact that Catherine and Carol have something in cahoots. The Foundation Board has a literary tea each and every year, and Catherine will be the keynote speaker at this. Right. And we'll talk about that in just a second. But first, let's get back to domestic violence in Nirvana here. We've got Indian Lake, which is, in your past books, a wonderful little town, Mayberry-esque, if you will.
Yes.
And now suddenly this evilness of domestic violence pops up.
Yes.
Why?
First of all, because it is happening, and it's happening for the most part in the United States in small towns. The Mexican cartel has literally carved up mid-America. I did extensive research for this one. Now, this isn't my first shot at domestic violence, which you and I have talked about before. I have several books, novels and nonfiction, that address domestic violence, and I have been a soapbox speaker against all kinds of domestic violence against women, children, and or whatever. But when I was doing my research for this, I interviewed several drug task force team police officers, agents, and discussed with them really what's going on in our area, because Indian Lake, as you know, is Northwest.
Inspired by Northwest Indiana.
Yeah, it's Northwest Indiana, and that's where we're all at. And so my personal background with writing The Evolving Woman, Confessions of Surviving Mr. Wrong, which are true stories of women who survived domestic violence, mm-hmm. got out, and then really, really prospered with their lives. They went to school or really took care of their kids and had a wonderful life after they got out of that situation, which most women caught in that web.
Mm-hmm.
Really do believe they can't leave, that they never can get out. And that's what I'm trying to show.
How long ago was that book out? That's been a while.
Oh, yeah. I want to say 20 years. It's maybe not quite 20 years.
Is it time for a
15?
Sequel?
No, but I do. What I am doing is I am putting up on eBooks in May a novel that's about domestic violence called Becoming, which went kind of hand in hand with my nonfiction at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's coming back out, and then this one at the same time. And then, as with your help, we are, you know, addressing this situation, you know, with true stories. But that's the background of the heroine. That's the story in this is actually in the previous book, Sophie's Path, which you and I talked about last time when I was on, mm-hmm. Was the nurse who was taking care of a man who was in a car accident, which was caused by a overdosed heroin addict. And it was the two sides of the coin of where those of us who are, because I'm kind of on the fence of both sides, is one, they need to be prosecuted when they're doing something like that, and the other is what can we do to take care of them to help them. So you're all of us in the country are torn because there are very few families out there that have not been affected in some way. Somehow you have a friend who has a drug problem, or mm-hmm. you have a family member, but some of us know something firsthand. It's not 6 degrees of separation. It's, right. 6 points of 1 degree of separation for this problem. So that was first addressed with Sophie's Path. This one is the next book where it comes from the cop's point of view. And he is trying to stop all of the a drug lord from moving into a small town, Indian Lake. And in order to do that, he finds that the drug lord is the ex-husband of this woman in town who is a realtor that he's met at various functions at the library or wherever he's been hanging out.
You got to watch out, those librarians.
I'm telling you.
You never know about a library.
I know. It's true.
Den of iniquity.
I've always liked him. But anyway, what he does is she has been living in disguise in mm-hmm. Indian Lake. She ran away, literally ran away in the middle of the night on foot with the clothes on her, just the clothes on her back. She didn't even have keys to a car or any identity or anything with her, no money or anything. She just took off before he could, her husband mm-hmm. was passing out and before he could beat her anymore. Now, that's actually based on a true story of a woman that I interviewed back in the day.
For Mr. Wrong.
Correct. Okay. For Mr. Wrong. So I used her story and the whole idea of her hiding out, changing her name, but as she runs away, she has just realized that she is pregnant. So she
there is a lot of melodrama going on here.
You know what? It almost sounds like real life, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So she comes to Indian Lake, and with the help of the lovely people in Indian Lake, she gets a little lift up in life, place to stay, gets a job, and then people who underwrite her to go to real estate school so that she can, take care of her son, which she does. And then mm-hmm. all of a sudden, the guy comes back, and the cops are, they realize that he's coming back to town, and through background checks and everything else, they find out that he's married to this girl that...
This is a different Harlequin than your mother's Harlequin.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I mean, growing up, I remember, Fabio, of course, was the image of Fabio.
I know, I met him. I have a picture of him.
Do you really?
Oh, yeah.
But it was always stories that took place in some far-off romantic setting, a lot of European things, a lot of cruises. And I mean, they were love
foreign
stories.
Foreign capitals.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, your series now, how many books have you got on this?
This is number 7.
And this is part of the Heartwarming series, and it's The Shores of Indian Lake is the subtitle of all of these.
Right.
It's Indiana. It's not Madrid. It's not Barcelona.
I know, but as the line itself does it draws closer to small towns mm-hmm. and that kind of thing. It's
when you say the line, you're talking the Heartwarming?
Heartwarming line.
That's a sub
it's a
category?
It's a subgenre.
Okay.
Within the Harlequin line. Now, if I wanted to write something about Paris, et cetera, et cetera, that I would write for a different line within Harlequin.
Okay. It's nice that they're diversifying so much.
Yeah, and the thing that I love is that my editors have been so gracious and understanding that I personally have this feel, this responsibility that as an author and a published author is that I have a chance to address, not every single time I write a book, but I have a chance to address some of these really hardcore life issues that, can be lent, into a romance story. Mm-hmm. And I also believe that my favorite romances for me to write are the ones that are set against a backdrop of chaos, whether it be a war or some kind of weather cataclysm, you know, that kind of thing. You know, where
or working
like,
at a radio station. Always chaos here. Right. Or a library.
Well, go out in the traffic. It looks like chaos out there to me.
There you go.
So I'm very, very fortunate that they allowed me to do this because there's a lot of – it's very gritty. It's a lot of real life in it. But at the same time, it is the story of a woman that literally agrees to be the bait to draw her husband in. And she risks her own life because she loves this town. I'm gonna tear up. This town and the people in it have saved her life, so now she wants to return the favor and save their lives by getting rid of this really evil drug lord. And he is.
So. I'm looking forward to reading this. This sounds
it's
quite.
It's a guy. It's a guy.
And we talked about that last time you were here. That yeah. Harlequin books are not necessarily just for ladies anymore.
That's right.
You're getting a broader audience because you're getting a little grittier. You're getting a little more topical stuff that we can all relate to.
Yeah.
Are you finding a larger when you do book signings and things? More and more men coming out.
Not really. Because first of all, because my book signings haven't been as numerous as they certainly were in the past, where you were literally on tour and doing, you know, 3 gigs a day. So it's a little bit different. But I will say is that I do have reviews and emails that are from men. Yes.
Okay.
So.
Now, you're going to be next week at the Lake County Public Library Foundation 2017 Literary Tea, and you're going to be discussing not so much this book, but some of your other books, which we're going to touch on in a moment. Right. But you'll be signing books at that event.
Oh, yeah.
So anyone that comes there, you'll have all of the books as well as the angel-related books.
Yes.
Let's give away a copy right now. Let's give away a signed copy of Protecting a Single Mom, the latest installment, brand new before anyone even gets it. We'll give you a book marker, and we get a really cool little tote here as well. Is that a Harlequin tote?
Yeah. This is my heartwarming tote. Harlequin heartwarming. Look at that. Green.
Wow.
Very
stylish.
Cool.
Very stylish. It was
like
a
that.
Logo. Very official. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I know.
Very nice.
I do too.
First one to call Dan and say, I want a book. 219-769-9577. 769-9577. Let's open up the phone line, and Dan, you take care of getting somebody a copy of the book.
Alrighty.
While we talk with Carol Moore about what exactly does the Lake County Public Library Foundation do, and how long have you been connected?
Okay, well, that's a big topic. The foundation is responsible for raising money to do things that are not covered by the library's allocation. I don't know if people quite understand, but libraries are supported by taxes.
Okay.
Okay, and the Lake County Library covers all of the smaller towns in Lake County. The cities, Hammond, Gary, East Chicago,
have their own.
They all have their own library systems. Lake County covers the smaller towns, Munster, Highland, Cedar Lake, Hobart. And they have an allocation, and it's a pretty good sized allocation that comes from the state budget, but that only covers a certain amount of stuff. So our job is to raise money and guard money, and then give the money to the library to do certain things. So we have an endowment.
Mm-hmm.
We give money, the interest money from the endowment to the library every year, in probably the amount of $60,000 a year that
wow.
we give them.
Wow.
They use them in whatever way. Sometimes one year they bought a lot of databases with that money. For example, this year they're going to use the money for the summer reading program. They have decided, which is an extremely popular program, but they want the kids to really be recognized for participation. So once they reach a certain level, each child will get a T-shirt. So our money this year is going to support that and prizes for reading levels and so on.
And during the year you work with the schools, but this is the summer program you're talking about.
This is the summer reading program. And we also do... Yeah, we work with the schools. There's a lot of things involved with the foundation. Mm-hmm. But the literary tea is really special. It's our big event every year. I'm not exactly sure. This is something like 19 or 20 of them. I'm not positive how many there were. And we originally started doing them at the library in the conference rooms, but we outgrew that.
Well, that's a good thing.
It is a very good thing. And this year we're going to be at the Avalon, which is a lovely venue.
They have good food there.
And they have excellent food.
That's good.
And so we're really looking forward. And, it's a beautiful setting when you look out the windows in the back. It's a very nice spot.
They have a lake?
They have a lake back there.
Kind of like Indian Lake.
There you go.
There's even a little white gazebo back there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, how nice.
Yeah, it's really nice. Well, they use it for weddings. So.
Sure. Yeah.
But we have a winner. Dan just handed me the winner. It's Sarah from Valparaiso.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Sarah, congratulations and thank you for giving us a ring. And we're going to send you the Harlequin tote bag along with an autographed copy of the brand new book, Protecting the Single Mom. And again, she is from Valparaiso, so excellent. Which is not in part of the Lake County Library System.
No, it is not part of the.
But you're welcome to come join us.
She is definitely invited to come to the tea. Everyone is welcome.
Yeah.
And we'd love to have them. The more the merrier.
Absolutely.
To get down to the real basics, the cost is $25 a person. And we actually need to know really quickly if you're interested in coming. I would say
because it's a week away.
Yeah, because it's next Saturday.
Yeah.
So I would say if you're interested, get a hold of the library by Monday at the very latest, because we have to tell the Avalon how much food we need, of course.
Right.
But we would love to have you. Again, the cost is $25. If you're interested, call the library. The phone number is 769-3541 and ask for Jennifer Bernison. She is the marketing manager.
And she'll hook you up.
And she will hook you up. And it'll be a really lovely event. Oh, and by the way, we have some wonderful raffle prizes also.
Mm-hmm. That's right. A lot of raffle baskets are there, and great finger sandwiches and desserts, and of course, plenty of tea.
That's right.
Lots of tea. That's why it's called a tea.
It's really a tea. We serve scones and finger sandwiches and actual.
That's the real deal
deal.
Actual real hot tea and dessert.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because.
I'm there for the cookies. I'm telling you right now.
Last year.
What about those lemon bars?
The lemon bars were
those are good
incredible.
Too.
Last year we had our very own Jerry Davidge as our speaker.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And he was quite interesting.
Yeah. He knows how to speak.
Yeah. He does.
Very good speaker.
And Catherine, you were a guest a couple of years back. Now, was that the first time you had done something like that? Or do libraries around the country that do that?
I've done quite a few in the past.
Okay.
Yeah.
So teas are popular.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just beautiful. We had a great crowd. I had so much fun. I met so many lovely people. And it was just a great venue and really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the question you probably get asked the most when
you
do book signings
and
things? Did you meet Michael Douglas? Of course, for those who just tuned in, Catherine did the novelization of Romancing the Stone and Jewel of the Nile, which both became huge Michael Douglas
film vehicles.
And by the way,
when she was at the tea a few years ago, I had a copy of Romancing the Stone from
30 years ago.
Way back when bought way back when, and I brought it and had her autograph it. And
so
she was very
go.
Gracious to do that.
Yeah. So did you meet Michael?
Yes.
Answer the question.
Yes, yes, yes. I was with him for 3 full days,
Wow.
Yeah. I went out to Los Angeles. They were doing reshoots for Romancing the Stone, and he wanted a bunch of publicity photos that he was going to use, for publicity.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, it was the year that we all had the swine flu. Everybody was all over the country was sick with the swine flu stuff. So all the people who were supposed to be taking me around and showing me this and that and everything around the studio and the grounds, everything, they were all sick. So there was nobody to babysit me, just like, you said you're going to babysit. So they said... Michael has to babysit you. I was like,
thank God for swine flu.
Okay then.
He's supposed to be a pretty nice guy
from what I've heard. He was absolutely incredible. He was very, very intelligent, which since I'm a mind freak, that was really a big deal to me. And he was very, very sweet. So when I walked into his office, and there was this one guy, you know, he was younger than I was, and he was more nervous than I was. He was like, so are you ready? To go meet Michael? Do you need to talk about anything? You know, and I said, yeah, it's not a problem, you know. So anyway, I went, they took me around to his office, and he was sitting there eating lunch, you know, a late lunch
at his
or whatever.
Desk.
This big sofa thing, and then a big coffee table, mm-hmm. and then there were, we didn't have, there were no laptops and computers and all, but there were telephones everywhere. And no cell phones, but all these telephones. Mm-hmm. And so I went in, and he was eating Chinese vegetables. And he gets up, and he's looking at me. He's got these Chinese vegetables hanging out of his mouth. And he goes, hi, Catherine. Well, just wait a minute. And I went, this is priceless. It's absolutely priceless. You know? And he's 10 times more gorgeous than a camera ever beheld. So...
So you've done a lot in your career. Of course, those are two big jewels, if you will, in your in your repertoire. Without saying anything, last time we talked, you were hinting that some bigger things were coming again.
Yeah.
Is anything developed? Can you talk about any of that?
Well, let's just hope there's no writer's strike on May 1st.
Yes.
That's the big thing. So if there's no writer's strike, then we can say it. But because of the writer's strike... We're delayed again and on several levels.
But you have a relatively bigger project in the works.
Yes.
And perhaps next time you can tell us more about
it. I'm hoping in July that we'll... But, you know, the last time there was a writer's strike, it was 22 weeks. Well, that's a long time. And I have friends in L.A. that said that literally... Because I think it was 2007. And I can remember my husband, Jed, whom you knew quite well, said that it changed the landscape of Hollywood forever. Because at that time, a television producer couldn't get his show on the air, well, everybody went to Canada. So they hired Canadian writers and Canadian people to take care of everything. And they're still there.
Wow.
So the set designers and everybody went to Canada. I had a phone call from a producer the other day, and she said, we talked and everything, and I was pitching some things to her, and she said, I have one last question. I said, what's that? And she said, are you WGA? And I said, no. And she said, thank God.
For the listeners, what is WGA?
Writers Guild of America, which is the union. And
that would strike.
That would strike. And so since I'm not part of WGA,
Now, as a writer in the Hollywood thing, do you belong to like SAG or any of those other organizations? Mm-hmm. No? Mm-hmm.
SAG is Screen Actors Guild.
Okay.
So that's, you know.
So after a SAG, that is all the on-air talent.
That's the on-air talent.
You're the behind the scenes.
And I'm behind the scenes. Obviously way behind the scenes.
Now, you were born and raised in Indiana,
yes.
And of course, you've traveled all over and done all the glamorous things that Hollywood people do, and now you're back in Indiana.
Right.
Is it coming full circle? Is that something that sits well with you? I mean, is that what inspired the Indian Lake series, coming back?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I, you know, every morning I get up and I just say, thank you, God, for my, you know, beautiful little house, which you and Alice
have
been to.
Yes.
My little jewel box house and, you know, where it
pretty
sits. Pretty
backyard.
And my lovely little town. And I'm just very happy. You know, my girlfriends came in from, which I meant to tell you is my girlfriend from Texas said to say hi to Tom.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah, they were a lot of fun. We're hanging out at your house.
Yeah, yeah. And but anyway, I'm close enough to go into Chicago. I went in and saw some friends took me in about 2 weekends ago and saw a jazz performance at the symphony, and you know things like that. I was like, yeah, let's just go, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And then South Bend is a hop, skip, and a jump for me.
Right.
And
which has its own entertainment hub there.
Yes. So. I'm really enjoying it, you know. I love where I live. I really do. And, and then my friends, from L.A. all last year where they had the drought and everything. And I just,
right.
And I'm looking out at this green, lush lawn and going, gee whiz, I'm sorry.
Shame, isn't it?
Yeah, too bad.
Let's open the phone lines again. I've got another copy of the new book. You can join Sarah from Valparaiso in the Winner's Circle. It's a heartwarming series from Harlequin, Protecting the Single Mom on the Shores of Indian Lake. Catherine Lanigan, my guest, is the author. It's the fourth in the series and like number 45 in her career. And we're going to talk about a different style of book she wrote in a minute. But right now, let's go ahead and give you that plus the Harlequin tote. And it's 219-769-9577. We'll take the first caller, 219-769-9577. And keep that number handy because we're going to give away a final copy a little later in the show. And then you're going to need it later today because we've got Chef Nick coming in for our Good Eats show.
That's right.
And we'll have gift cards to give away and food and all kinds of fun stuff. So stay with us all afternoon.
Fun segment. We're going to be talking about vegan food today, I believe.
Yummy.
That sounded really kind of
very enthusiastic.
Yes. Carol, when you're not with the foundation, which of course you're always with the foundation, but when you're not doing foundation business, you are a writer and journalist in your own right.
I am.
And you
am.
Do a lot of theater. And
I'm a full-time theater critic, which means I commute almost every day
to Chicago.
Yes. Oh. And I get to see. This is a really hard job, but somebody has to do it.
Right.
And
oh, gee whiz.
Golly gee, it's me.
Bad luck.
But it does take a lot of effort and a lot of time.
It takes a lot of
and
time.
And scheduling.
Yes.
I mean, it is crazy. People think we have these luxurious jobs because we get to like hobnob with people that are famous, like Catherine. And but really, there's a lot of hours invested that you don't realize.
Yeah. Well, you know, I do travel in almost every day.
Wow.
I was in the city last night. I saw a brand new show called La Havana Madrid, which is produced by a company called Teatro Vista at Steppenwolf's new 1700 Theater.
Wow.
And it was a wonderful little show, just wonderful. It's a history of La Havana Madrid was a nightclub that was on Belmont that the Hispanics frequented in the 60s.
I love it. That's like West Side Story.
It was just wonderful. And what this was, they recreated it with an original band, and I can't remember the name of it. I apologize. But and then a lot of little vignettes about people who came to the club.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a history lesson.
Oh.
Things
lovely.
About the Hispanic community in Chicago that I'd never even heard.
Yeah.
So it was a wonderful show. So that one night I see that. The night before last, I saw Aladdin. I was at the opening night of Aladdin.
I wanted to see that. I've heard that's pretty phenomenal.
Oh, my gosh. I want to tell you.
Really?
I was just blown away. It's just amazing. Now, first of all, the star is the same guy who was on Broadway. He left
really?
The Broadway, Adam, and again, I'm really bad at names, so I apologize, but he left the Broadway production and came to Chicago.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, and he's just amazing.
That's one of those that is on my list. I don't do a lot of theater, but I saw the previews and I've read about it.
Really?
And I'm not a big, I have no desire to see Hamilton. I know everybody else in the world wants to see it. If I had a ticket, I'd give it to you. I really don't want to go see it.
It's
but I would like to see.
$1,000 a ticket.
It's crazy.
Do you know what? I haven't even seen Hamilton.
No.
Really?
You know? Because it had so much hype when it came into Chicago, mm-hmm. they only invited the two dailies in the city and the TV people.
Right.
And just a couple of extra critics. Those of us who write online for online publications, if you will, they didn't even bother to invite us.
How
you
dare.
Know, really?
Which, because you know
the
they
snobbery of it all.
They don't need us.
Yeah,
they don't. Yeah, exactly.
They don't. You know, so you know you can say what you want. I eventually will see Hamilton, but
sure.
you know it's
sure.
one of those things. But you know, for me, getting to see things like La Havana, Madrid, or
that's neat.
Or tonight I'm going to see a world premiere of a show called Queen at Victory Gardens. And Saturday, I'm going to see Jesus Christ Superstar at the Paramount Theater in
Aurora.
Now,
who's doing that?
Paramount Theater in Aurora.
Okay.
Which is phenomenal.
I've seen that many times with Ted Neely. Ted and I go back a number of years. Of course, I'm sure he's stepped down from that.
Yeah, no. This is an all-Chicago cast.
Okay.
And then Sunday night, I'm going to see Shakespeare in Love at Chicago Shakespeare Theater.
Oh, cool.
Wow. It's tough to be her.
I know. Gee whiz.
But on the other hand, see, it takes time to sit down and write something.
Exactly.
Yes, it does.
And, you know, I've always been a writer, but learning how to write opinion is a whole different thing. I wrote news articles. I wrote press releases. I wrote magazine articles. I wrote a lot of things, but it was all straight reporting kind of writing, you know, very matter of fact. Learning to write your own opinion is a whole different thing.
It is. You know, it's very interesting because I have people who read my book and I say, please go online and give me a review. And they'll say, I don't know how to do that. I can't do that.
It is very hard.
And they're very, very intimidated. And it makes me wonder, you know, how many people would like to put a review up, but they're not, it's just, it's too difficult for them.
You know, I do review books occasionally, you know, because I was really excited about a book one time. So I wrote a little thing and put it on Amazon. And ever since I get, you know, people send me emails and say, would you read my book and review it? And even doing that, you know, I really have to take a step back and think about what I want to say, how I want to say it. And it takes me a lot of time. I have a friend who, you know, does his reviews driving home from the shows.
Really?
And I'm not sure how he does that because it takes me a couple days at least to get a review done because I write something and then I go back and rewrite and rewrite and rewrite and rewrite. So it's not an easy process. So everybody who thinks it's a lot of fun, it is, but then there's a lot of work in the background.
Sure. You know, anything, I don't care what it is, anything that you do, for it to be the gem that you want it to be your product, it takes a lot of work.
It really does.
It does. It just,
does.
There's, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there really is no such thing as fluff. Even fluff takes a lot of work to make it look like it's fluff.
Right.
Oh, it does.
It just does. And I had this phone call. This woman called me.
We just had a phone call, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Nancy of Crown Point is taking home our second copy of the new book.
All right, Nancy.
It's Protecting the Single Mom, Catherine Lanigan, Shores of Indian Lake. And we'll set you up with a tote bag as well and a cool little bookmarker so you don't lose your place.
Hey, Nancy, why don't you think about coming and meeting Catherine at the library tea?
That's
right. Yes, absolutely.
And then you've already got one signed book that we're sending to you. You can go ahead and get several more.
So
what was your phone call?
So this woman said, you know, I need some advice because I have a really great idea for a screenplay. And I said, okay. And I said, well, what kind, you know, and I'm thinking, she's not a writer. She doesn't, you know. Mm-hmm. And she said, now I've never written a screenplay, but I suppose I could probably figure it out.
Oh, goodness.
Wow. And I thought.
You think it's that easy, huh?
Yeah. A, you think it's that easy, and you have just now invalidated half of my life.
You know, isn't that the truth?
And I thought, I'm going to have a hard time helping out here.
Right.
Because this person thinks that this is just like falling off a log. Well, I have this really great idea, and I said, you know, a friend of mine, get a lawyer.
Yeah. Right.
A friend of mine is a playwright. In fact, he spoke to the T.
Oh, yeah.
Two years ago. His name is Jim Henry. He lives in Valparaiso. And he's written, I don't know, 8 or 9 plays that have been produced. He's been off-Broadway.
Wow. Oh,
you
God.
Know, and he really works hard at it.
Sure.
And he just barely considers himself to be a playwright.
Yes.
You know?
I mean, yes.
It's...
I mean, really.
It's work.
It really is. And it's there's a tremendous amount. When I think of all the classes that I took and all of the work that I did just to prepare myself for the first time I wrote a screenplay 35 years ago.
Wow.
You know, I'm just...
It's so different than writing anything else.
It is.
Because you have to create where you're at, the environment, everything besides just the dialogue.
Right.
And, you know, you have to envision all this and then put yourself in the role of each character and their persona.
Yeah.
So you have to be almost like Sybil to write a screenplay.
Yeah, you really do.
This tea that we're having on April 29th is, again, at the Avalon. But the topic is going to be not Indian Lake so much,
right.
Or the early years of Catherine Lanigan, the Hollywood years. We're going to talk about your angel books.
Right.
And I think because of the fact that we are going to be promoting the event here today, we should talk a little about the angel tales. And you've done how many of these now?
Three angel books.
Yeah. Three. Now, what are they?
They are true stories of angelic intervention in human life. That's your basic umbrella of what it is. But they're everything from near-death experience to real encounters with angels, encounters that have been even in a deep meditation or almost a death type of experience, signs or unusual things that happen after a loved one departs, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Like
dreams,
that sense of
messages,
being that someone's there?
That someone's okay. there or little things that happen. There are certain things that seem to happen to everybody. One of them is like when someone passes away, you may start noticing pennies being around the room or wherever you go, you'll look down and there's a penny or there's
yeah.
Or
you know, I actually have had that happen. I have an azalea plant in my kitchen window that was one of the plants sent to me when my dad passed away, you know, which is like 8 years ago.
Uh-huh.
That azalea blooms every year on my dad's birthday.
Wow.
See, now my husband had the same thing when his grandmother died. The day she died, now he was in Arizona. And they had century plants at the end of the driveway. Well, they came back from the funeral. There had been no bloom or anything. Here, within 2 hours, these enormous blooms on these century plants, big white flowers on the mm-hmm. top of the century plants.
Oh,
when right after they had buried her, and he said that thing hasn't bloomed. It's been there for 20 years. It's never bloomed, and it blooms when. Right after she passed.
I have something interesting that happened recently. And Catherine, last time you were here and we were talking a bit about the angel books, one of my dear friends called and she was very much into angels.
Yes.
She has since passed away. She was my right hand, helped me on so many projects. And it's funny because we were doing Pet Rock, which was one of the projects she was very involved in.
Right.
And Alice and I were at home. And of course, there's 9 million things to do before an event. And I had stuff stacked everywhere. And there was these plastic holders that we used for the cards for the auction. And for the life of me, we couldn't find them. We tore the house apart, could not find them. Well, of course, she was always my right hand, always took care of what needed to be done.
Right.
We went to bed, said, we're going to have to go to the office store and buy more, blah, blah, blah. Let's get up early. I got up like 7 in the morning, let the dogs out. I look over at the table, which was empty.
Right.
They're stacked. Now, I called Alice and woke her up. I says, did you do this? And she goes, no. And we both just looked at each other and we knew.
Sure.
It's like, who did I go to when I right. needed help? I needed help last night and look what's here.
Yeah.
It was like Santa Claus had come and put gifts under the tree. Nobody right. else was in the house. There's no other explanation for it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it made me think of you.
Yeah.
And the fact that she was very much into angels and had angel experiences herself and even talked to you about
it. She did.
Right. It just kind of blew my mind. I did want to share that with you.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I'm so sorry she passed. That was
yeah.
a minute and a half ago that
yeah.
we talked to her. Oh, wow. Amazing. Anyway, but those are the kinds of things that we're going to, you know, talk about at the tea and stuff.
Now, will you take questions from people in the audience? Has anyone had
yeah.
maybe for a future book?
And not only that, but I want to make sure that I get emails from them so that we can, you know, talk back and forth,
mm-hmm.
you know, after everything so that I can compile them for another book. And the other thing is that if they, besides questions, if they want to relate a little bit of the, not take up the whole time, but,
mm-hmm.
I'm especially looking for some near death experience stuff, but I also want any kind of, past life, stories that are from either children or very, very vivid that were in a dream or something.
Like reincarnation stuff?
Like reincarnation stuff. There are two or three books out right now that are really, really pushing the envelope with...
Did Shirley MacLaine write them?
No, they're. I'll bring one and show it to you. But they're about children having these very young children, 2, 3, 4 years old. And in this book, I touched on it. It's called Feathers or something. But my granddaughter was 3 years old, and we had this thing where once a month she would come to grandma's house and we'd have a sleepover. You know, so I would get her for one night, and she would have the sleepover, and we would do all these the same little things. She'd play with her, you know, her dollhouse and stuff like that. Well, anyway, in the middle of the night, and she always wanted to sleep in the big bed with me. I had this very big bedroom with a 20-foot ceiling and all this kind of stuff, and she would sleep in the bed with me. And so one night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, she got up and she said, "I have to go to the bathroom." I said, "Okay." So we go to the bathroom, we come back, and then I laid back down, and I had a little night light on because she was afraid of the dark. And so I could really see her face. It was right by the bed. So, you know, I was awake all night practically because the light's in my eyes. But anyway, so I could see her face when she was talking to me. And so I was lying on my left side. She was lying on her right side. And she's looking at me and she says, "Grandma, do you remember when we lived before?" And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "You know, when we lived before, and we lived in the big city." And I said, "What big city?" And she said, the big city where we rode in the long cars, and we wore the big hats, and we had white dresses on." Well, she's talking about 1903, before World War I. That's what she's talking about. Touring cars. The long cars are touring cars. And she started talking about how the top was down because a touring car was open. It didn't have a top on it. And we had big hats, and she said, you always had a little umbrella. You always carried a little umbrella. It was a parasol.
Wow.
Now, she's 3 years old. She has no idea what she's talking about. She said, I said, "Well, you know, I don't quite remember it." She said, "Well, you have to remember it because I loved you so."
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Exactly. Well, I'm crying. and then I said, "Well, I love you too." And she said, "Well, I want you to remember it because I just loved you so." And then she kissed me, but it was the kiss of, it was not the little girl kiss. It was like a long kiss on the cheek, like an adult would kiss you to say goodbye, you know? And I was wrenched. I was a wreck.
Wow.
Well, then she just, you know, said, "Well, okay, I have to go to sleep now." You know, that kind of thing is, where's my rabbit? Where's my teddy bear? You know, so I got her the little stuffed toys and stuff. Well, that's what really started it for me. And I have, she doesn't remember any of that kind of stuff now. And to this day, I mean, right now, she would say there's no such thing as past lives. But that really happened. When my daughter, when my sister's boys were, when Sammy was 3 years old, we were in Marshall Fields in Chicago. And my sister was helping my niece, who is now married and has my grandnieces, four of them. But they were getting some barrettes and ribbons and all this kind of stuff. And so Sammy and I were looking at all these sunglasses. And so I was playing around with them, putting all these sunglasses on. And he says, "Aunt Kath, do you remember when we lived before?" Same thing. And I said, "No, I don't, Sammy. What are you talking about?" He said, "When we lived in the big city." Now, I am guessing this is either Chicago or New York. So I'm probably, you know, I don't know which one, but it's got to be one of the two. And now his is a little bit later. And he said, "You were my Aunt Marjorie."
Oh, wow.
He said, "You are Aunt Marjorie." And he said, "Don't you remember? We used to watch the fights on television, and we ate all of our food from the silver trays." And I said, "What kind of silver trays?" And he said, "You know, the silver trays that had the little place here for the chicken and
TV
the little
dinners."
So I went home and I looked up, when were TV dinners invented? 1927, bird's eye. In 1937, closed circuit television existed in New York City only. And the only program that was across the airwaves in 1937, because I was born in 1947, so it had to be before that. 1937, the Wednesday night fights.
Wow.
In Madison Square Garden. It was the first place to have closed circuit television, was Madison Square Garden, and the first thing that was televised were the the boxing, where all the boxing stuff.
That's just bizarre.
Isn't it? So that's...
Now, how old was he at that point? Where
three.
He, said,
he was three? He was 3 years old.
So both kids about the same age.
About the same age are telling me these stories. Now, those are my personal experiences mm-hmm. with it. And I've just finished two more books on... And I'm reading these stories of these kids. And they're doing the same... Each one of them starts out, do you remember when we lived before? When I was here before, when I lived in my other life, and then you were this, or you were my mom, or you were my brother. Do you remember? And
wow.
And I'm like, okay, there's something going on here. And
Carol, are there any plays about anything like that that you know of?
You know, there are a couple.
Besides Wonderful Life, I mean, that's not really related, but that's an angel experience.
That's an angel story.
Right.
No, there are a couple. I'm trying to remember the names of them, but yeah, there are a couple, and there's a lot. There are a lot of novels about.
There's a lot of novels about past lives. And I mean, I can remember in 1987, I submitted a trilogy of stories to my editor that were all past life stories, mm-hmm. love stories of people that came back. You know, one was an Egyptian story, and one was I can't remember what the other ones were, but they were all three interrelated because of a group. There were two, you know, three couples, but they all knew each other, brothers, sisters, cousins, and all this kind of stuff. And then all the stories related in the entire trilogy. And I asked my editor, I said, it's not time travel, but it's actual past lives.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, put it in a drawer and wait 20 years, then pull it out.
Wow.
And I went, okay.
But she was right.
And she was right. She was right. Amazing. So now's the time to pull it out. And
yeah. Well, we just saw that completely different level, but we just saw that dog movie about the dog that keeps coming back.
Yeah.
That was cute.
Yeah.
You know, he keeps coming back and he finds his master again.
Right.
And,
same
concept, basically.
I think the time is coming around. So.
Yeah, well, I saw a play last week that had, it was adult children sitting at the father's bedside as he was dying,
uh-huh.
and you know, after he passed away, they were all sitting around the table in his house having a few doing kind of a wake, and he wandered into the room and sat down at the table, and one of them mentioned Tinkerbell, and he, at the exact time he's stirring up a glass of something, and which of course tinkled, and you know, the kids are like, oh, what's going on?
Right.
You
wow.
know, so, yeah, that play was called To Peter Pan on Her 70th Birthday.
Wow.
I liked that.
Yeah.
I liked that title.
Yeah, Sarah Rule wrote it as a gift for her mother.
I think we have a caller who would like to say hi.
Okay, let's put her in.
Pat?
Hello?
Hello? Pat from East Chicago. Hello.
Hello there.
No, it's a Pat he.
Yeah,
I thought it was a Pat she.
It's an okay.
Hand. Hi, Pat. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
Doing great. Thank you for listening. Do you have any questions for our guests?
No, I just want to say I'm excited to read this book.
Oh, terrific. Well, we're going to send it to you.
All right, great.
Make sure Dan gets all your contact info, and Catherine will sign it to you. And we got a beautiful green tote bag. I hope green's your favorite color.
Oh, of course. Earth Day.
Color of yeah. money.
That's right. How do you feel about the color green?
It's Earth Day. That's right.
That's right. That's right.
So, Pat, have you ever had any, right now we're talking about the Angel series of books she's done, in addition to the Protecting Single Mom. Have you ever had any angel-related stories to share?
Angel related stories?
Yeah,
no,
you felt like, you know.
Off the top of my head, I don't think so.
No, okay. Just thought I'd ask and throw it out there because we're hearing some pretty bizarre stuff here.
Yeah. Are you sure you don't have any, Pat?
He might.
Of an angel?
Yeah, it seems like you would have some.
Oh, man. I'm the only angel I can think of, Stan Clark.
Okay, very
go.
Good.
Thank you, Pat.
Well, Pat, we're going to get this book to you. Protecting the Single Mom is her latest book on the Harlequin Heartwarming series. And again, this is pretty interesting. It's about domestic abuse in a small town. And I don't know if you've read any of the other ones, but Katrina's Promise, Sophie's Path, Fear of Falling, Fine Year for Love, all part of this series. And I think once you read this one, you're going to want to go back and reinvent or rediscover these characters.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. We're going to send it to you. Thank you for calling. Have a great Earth Day weekend.
Yeah, you as well.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Pat.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to talk about the angel stuff in depth again when we do the annual spring tea for the Lake County Library Foundation. And, Carol, give us a little bit about that again, how people can come and get in contact.
Okay. If you're interested in coming to the tea, it is at the Avalon. It starts at, I don't think we mentioned
think
the time.
1 o'clock.
It's at 1 o'clock, although most people get there earlier than that because they want to get a chance to put their tickets in for the seed raffles.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it is at the Avalon in Merrillville on Route 30. And if you're interested in coming, call Lake County Public Library, 769-3541. Ask for Jennifer Burnison. She's the marketing manager. And if you can't remember her name, just hang on for the operator and say you want to make a reservation for the tea, and it'll get to Jennifer.
Yeah.
Cost is $25 per person. And you'll get tea and scones and finger sandwiches.
I like the cucumber ones myself.
Yeah. I like the cucumber ones,
I like those
too.
A lot.
Those are real good.
Those are good.
And little desserts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the desserts are even better.
Mm-hmm. And since it's at Avalon, you know the food is going to be really, really good.
Now, approximately how long does it last? About 2 hours?
About 2 hours, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're going to have your tea, and you're going to have Catherine speak, and then...
And then afterwards, meet and greet and sign books, and you'll pretty much stay as long as people want to talk. And
I'll be there.
You're there for the duration.
I'm there.
So, and I get to introduce you.
Yay! See,
I'm Foundation President this year, so I get to introduce you.
Yay! I like that. That's fun.
Now, how can people keep up with what the foundation does? A variety of different programs throughout the year are being presented, besides the book stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. If people go to the library website, which is lcplin.org, the very first page has kind of a update on what's happening at the library. And whenever the foundation has an event, it'll be on that page. Tea is on that page right now.
Okay.
Again, it's the homepage for the library. So all you have to do is go there. Or, you know, just type in LCPL on Google, and it'll get to the library.
That's great. That makes it easy.
Hmm. All right. And real quickly, you had handed me a card here. Family of His Own, is that the next book coming out?
Yes.
So this is July.
That's July.
So this is number 6 in the series, From the Shores of Indian Lake.
Seventh.
Wow. You just keep cranking these out. I don't know how you do this.
Three a year.
Just real quickly, what is the underlying story here?
So this one is, for anybody who's been following the series or reads the series, this is Scott and Isabel that I introduced in the very first book, which was Love Shadows, 4 years ago already.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott is, he owns Book Stop and Java Shop. And he is also a writer. You have to, somebody in town has to be a writer, right?
Of course.
So anyway, he's a little journalist for the newspaper in town. And but he's always been in love with Isabel, who is an artist. And she is finally on the cusp of really making it big and having a gallery showing in Chicago. And so she has worked very, very hard for this to happen. And it comes along at the time when he is ready to propose to her. And so he's got the ring and proposes, and she says no.
Ooh.
Ooh, burn.
Ouch.
Well, we have to wait for July for that one. That's
there you go.
Family of His Own. Of course, the new one that's out now, Protecting the Single Mom, Shores of Indian Lake, is the series. 7 books forthcoming. By the time we get to July, Catherine Lanigan has been our guest. She will be the guest on Saturday, the 29th, at the Avalon. Again, get a hold of the Lake County Public Library, the Merrillville branch. Talk to Jennifer there, and we can get you squeezed in and enjoy this wonderful event that also raises money to help kids read.
That's right.
So we're going to leave you there. And again, thanks to everyone that called in. Nancy and Crown Point, Sarah Valparaiso, and Pat in East Chicago. I find it funny that the ladies didn't want to talk, but Pat did. You know, it's like, again, you got male followers and male readers. And
Pat's a fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Pat. So we're going to get books and bags out to everybody. And Carol, thank you. We'll see you at the tea.
You sure will. Yes. Thanks for inviting me.
All right. Catherine, let's not wait too much longer again. I love having you in the studio.
I love being here, as you know.
All right.
This is like my second home.
It is. Thanks for sticking around. Dan Clark is going to stay with us. And we've got Chef Nick coming up. Good Eats with Chef Nick at about 4 o'clock.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, French voters go to the polls this weekend in what some are calling a referendum on the future of the European Union, one day after the shooting death of a